The scripture reading from today is from Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that has cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people and the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And what a difficult pill that is to swallow. I remember the first saint that I recognized in my life. And the day that he passed away, my grandfather, Stanley Glass. And I remember at his visitation, the struggle that I had with his first experience of loss and not knowing how it was that I was supposed to feel or what it was that I was supposed to do in a moment such as this. And so at the visitation, I did what a lot of us do in our first experiences. We do simply what everybody else does. I sat where everybody else sat. I ate when everybody else ate. And I went up and I stood at the casket as long as everybody else stood. And not really knowing that as I said my last goodbyes as a child, are you actually supposed to say something? Is it more of a rhetorical moment? Do I just stand here? Am I supposed to do anything? And as long as my mother and my sister stood before me, I stood exactly that long, counting in my head until it was time to turn, and I went and I took my seat. And I did, through that evening, all the same things that everybody else did. But then that next morning, for the service, I did the one thing that nobody else wanted to do, as they asked me to speak at my grandfather's service. And I was still so young, the youngest one that was there, and the most separated from the life that he had lived, but yet became the tradition that then Arthur was going to speak at every family service, of every funeral that we had for every family member through the years. Maybe in that moment, my parents, knowing a little bit more than I did, maybe the line of work that I would go into, but to stand and to speak on behalf of a life in the foundation of a family of matriarchs and patriarchs that have gone on before us. Through that experience, I've learned some family secrets. I've learned some family hurts, but I've also, in a loss of a life, got to know some people much more than I ever did while they were actually alive. I got to hear stories of my grandparents when they were children or in school. I got to hear stories of passions and things that they've done with their lives that I had no idea that they ever did. And had a chance to share stories and foundations that have helped the generations that have come up after them that never got a chance to know them. And so it's been odd over the last couple years. Because over the past 10 years following my grandfather's funeral, We had a funeral for his wife, my grandmother. And then following that, in the years that followed, my other grandmother and my other grandfather. And over the course of 10 years, an entire generation of our family had passed on. And all of a sudden, when we said things like, we're going to the grandparents' house, we were talking about my parents. And when we talked about going to see the aunts and the uncles, it was no longer aunts and uncles in Detroit and Kansas City. It was my sister's houses. And all of a sudden, these stories of these giants that I had kind of been raised with, all of a sudden became our stories. And I started realizing that as we got older, that we had now taken the places of the saints that had gone on before us. And my children and my nieces and my nephews that are coming up behind us were now hearing stories of their great-grandparents, the same as I heard stories of my great-grandparents that went on before me. And it's been so incredibly interesting that the stories of these saints that have gone on before us all of a sudden became a lesson in me learning that their story has allowed for me to move into a position where I never saw myself as a part of my family story. And in faith, I think we find ourselves in that place as well. That sometimes we feel so unqualified to tell the story of God. We feel so unready to face the difficulties and the obstacles of sometimes what God is calling us to walk through. And yet God has called and spoken to each and every one of us. And even in those most difficult moments, has allowed us to move into a space for us to tell a story of those that have gone on before us, but ultimately the one who has gone on further than any of us. And our Savior Jesus Christ that has made a way for us. Life through death. When we tell stories of saints, each one of us has different faces and different stories that come to mind. Some saints that have come into our lives that we never even realized how much we needed them until they were there. Saints that have seen dreams and visions for us far beyond anything that we could see for ourselves, and ones who believed in us far more than what we believed in ourselves. And when they left, it was so uninvited. And it hurt so much. And yet we find that what makes them a saint is that even after they're gone, they continue to shape our lives. They continue to mold us. They continue to influence us for us to be able to walk in steps that are greater than we would have without them. And we build a legacy and a story that endures. In our scripture that we read this morning out of the prophet Isaiah, the people have been struggling for so long. And they hear the story of an apocalypse that is coming, of which generations have been wiped out, and they find themselves in such difficulty and such pain and tragedy. And yet in that moment, they find a way to see some form of thanksgiving and a hope and a promise that cuts through any story of loss or death that they have experienced as a people. And that God will bring them to the point where he first spoke to them, onto the side of the mountain. And on that mountain, as they continue their journey through the valley, that he will greet them with a feast of a taste and of an inheritance that is so rich they can't even imagine, but only to just tell the story of how good it will be. I rode around one day with one of my friends up in Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. And as he was grieving the loss of his wife, we found ourselves just sitting in a parking lot, just kind of staring at the windshield for some period of time. And he asked me if I thought heaven was real. I said yes, without a shadow of doubt. He says, what do you think it's like? I said, I'm not sure we've got words to describe that. I said, we've heard people try to describe, and we've heard the descriptions, and we've heard the stories, and we've seen the images of everything that it says that it's going to be and what it can be. And I said, but the bottom line is, if we imagine the best thing we ever can in our lives, that it'll be even better than that. That I don't think that there's any disappointment in heaven. And in fact, I'm not sure that heaven is just something that we wait to get to at the end, but rather something we begin to live in and feel even now. Because those that have passed on, as we have this inheritance that is waiting for us, in Hebrews it talks about that they are still that great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, who cheers us on, who strengthens us, who encourages us, who keeps us from running this run of this marathon of faith, of knowing how difficult it is because they have gone on before us. And encouraging us to run our race in faith. And knowing that we have a place. Continue to tell a story. To continue to light a way. Continue to tell the story to those who are coming up behind us. Of a life that endures through all things. That we become the examples of life in this world, of how God transforms our lives, becomes the testimony of those who are coming behind us to know that transformation is real. That hope and joy can even be found in some of the darkest places of this world. And that one day death will be swallowed up, the toughest pill to swallow, that the veil will be lifted, and that all will come to know the glory, the feast, and the love of God. As we come into worship this morning, we have an opportunity to share a meal and a feast together in Holy Communion. A meal that we break together and a meal that the saints have been eating for thousands of years. And a meal that will endure past any of us. A story of how God saw us, created us, shaped us, and loved us before we were even a form in His hands, and how He came down for us and walked with us and lived with us and died for us and came back for us again. When we were at our difficult and lowest of moments, God was at His best. And promised to bring us up to our best.